Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I mean, that part of it, I mean, I enjoy. I could talk football all day. It's awesome, honestly. I just try to embrace it all, try to learn as much as I can. I mean, it's what I expected, though. It's probably a little bit more than college, I would say, just detail-wise. But like I said, football is football at the end of the day.
It's Bills rookie Kaiir Elam. We mentioned in the first segment some of the matchups he'll get early on as the Bills open the season with the Rams, good group of receivers, the Titans, Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, Dolphins from there.
Yay, Tyreek Hill! We get to see him twice this season. Yay! Well, the Bills actually have seen him twice each of the last couple seasons.
Well, Elam, you know, one of the things about him is they want him to be faster. He's faster. Mm-hmm. He's bigger, more physical. I'm not sure if he's necessarily going to get Tyreek Hill, but, you know, the first few weeks.
It's a tough ask for a rookie cornerback.
Yeah, I would think so, if the Bills even try to cover him man-to-man. Anyway, that's Kaiir Elam. The schedule. We talked a little bit about the schedule in the first hour. I asked you how daunting the start of it was to go Rams, Titans, Dolphins. We think the Dolphins might be a little better, the Titans might be a little worse, and the Rams, of course, are coming off the Super Bowl, having been a team that finished the season in stride. Then again, a lot of Bills fans think the Bills would have beaten the Rams in the Super Bowl, right?
Rams could have lost before they even got to the Super Bowl.
Could have lost to the Niners.
Could have lost in the Super Bowl, but could have lost to the Niners, that's right.
Could have lost to the Bucs. They had a huge lead that they blew.
And blew it, that's right.
Cam Akers fumbles near the goal line. The Bucs are back in that game. It was almost a horrible scenario where Tom Brady's on his way to another Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's funny. You're right. You could look at all three of those Rams playoff games and do some what-ifs in every single game.
Mm-hmm.
Not rallying at the end in Tampa. 49ers with some questionable coaching decisions in that playoff game. And Cincinnati.
That's right. There was a punt, right? They punted on the plus side.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And then Cincinnati, wasn't there a big penalty against the Bengals defense maybe that allowed a Rams drive to continue? There were some penalty questions in the Super Bowl that hurt the Bengals in that game. So, yeah, it was kind of an odd playoff run for the Rams. No, decisive big win, but a lot of near misses for them.
Yeah, their championship is kind of remembered, among other things. It's remembered as, hey, you got the trophy.
Yeah.
Right? There's no talk of them being
the beginning of a dynasty?
No.
No.
And there's no talk, I don't think there's a lot of talk, at least, about them even being, well, clearly the best team in the league won it. It's just, oh, look at that. It was the Rams.
Well,
they were good.
Yeah, when Kansas City won their first Super Bowl, now again, this had come after almost beating Brady in a crazy AFC Championship game. When they won the Super Bowl, people were having to discuss, all right, how many for Mahomes?
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about three titles for Stafford, right? It's really, hey, they were good. They went all in. They don't care about trading draft picks. They brought in guys that, you know, they did what they had to do. Von Miller, Odell Beckham. Hey, good for them. It paid off. But I don't think anybody's talking about the Rams as the beginning of a dynasty.
No, and the Super Bowls in the last 15, 20 years there have been two kinds. One, Brady wins it. Two, is this the start of a challenger to Brady?
Yeah.
That's what Mahomes was.
Right.
If the Bills had not lost in 13 seconds and beat the Bengals, and if the Bills had won the Super Bowl, they would have gotten the Kansas City treatment.
I was just going to ask you, I figure that's where you're headed. What would the talk have been?
The talk would have been how many?
How many for
how
Josh Allen?
How many are they going to get?
Yeah, yeah.
The first of many.
Right, because they would have done the whole next step. They would have lost in the AFC title game to the previous dynasty to be, and then they would have beaten those guys in their building on the way to a Super Bowl
Josh would have been the toast of the league.
The league, yep, if he already isn't.
Assuming he would have played well in those last two games like he did in the prior two games. Yes, I think there would be the Mahomes discussion with the Bills would have been going on because they would have retained all their guys. They're going to be able to run it back. You know, they've done a great job building the roster. I don't know. Would they still have added Von Miller?
Maybe, maybe not. Maybe maybe he wants to get L.A. over the line instead of, you know, getting Buffalo over the line. Does assuming two more wins hit you as entirely fair to do? Or
in my life, yes. In my mind, yes.
Yeah.
Look, I get it. You can believe yourself to more wins or hope. No.
They would have beaten Cincinnati.
They would have beaten Cincinnati. And this is where guys, Cincinnati did win in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. So it's not, and they won in Tennessee. Yeah, but the way the Bills were playing, the way Josh Allen, the offense was functioning, those two games, the way they dissected New England and then would have done what they did in the fourth quarter against Kansas City, assuming they held on, it didn't go to overtime, I think they would have been a favorite to win the game. And I think they would have been able to beat Cincinnati at home. Then the only question is, what would have happened in the Super Bowl? And here we are talking about the thin line, that line between defeat and victory that the Rams had in their three playoff games, you know, in the Tampa game, the Niners game, and the Super Bowl. So, yeah, this is not a fan convincing himself. Well, they would have won. No, I fully believe the way they were playing, the completeness to their game, and home field in the AFC title game, I'm completely convinced they would have won the Super Bowl. So
it would have been favored.
And that's why, you know, you do always wonder. I mean, it's not like they have a 37-year-old quarterback trying to make a go of it in his final year or two. But, you know, there is no, we said there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that just things go smoothly this year. You never know what one season brings from one to the next. You know, we're expecting the Bills to be able to break through and get to the Super Bowl this year and hopefully win the Super Bowl this year. But that's what's so painful about last year. There's no guarantee that they're going to be, you know, 12 wins, 13 wins, one seed into the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. Where is the Super Bowl this year?
Arizona.
Is it? All right. Just curious. Just thought I'd get that into my head just in case we have this discussion at some point during the season.
Yeah, it's Arizona.
I don't know. You had something else you asked, and now I can't even remember what you asked.
No, I just asked about how reasonable it is to just expect those two wins.
Yeah.
And the Rams matchup, to me, we started with was really looking at the schedule outside of just, hey, look at that, they're on opening night and all that it means for that.
Yeah.
The matchup with the Rams and what it would say to beat the Rams, it would not be the same as, I'll put it this way, here's a way to ask it. Which team on the schedule will be or would be, if they had opened with it, their most impressive win? Is it the Rams? I know they're the defending champs. Would you be more impressed to week one, out of the gate, beat the Packers or the Bengals or the Chiefs? Or is Rams the right ultimate opening statement because, you know, those are the guys with the belt?
I'm sorry, I'm just spinning the schedule. I think it's the Rams.
Okay.
It's nobody in the division. It's not Kansas City because they should have won twice in Kansas City last year. It's not. They did beat them. Prior to that game in the regular season, we talked forever about can you get over the Kansas City hump? They did in that game and would have, could have, should have in the playoffs. So it's not Kansas City. I wouldn't say Green Bay. At the very least, it's a home game. And clearly the Bills own Aaron Rodgers in Orchard Park. So I don't think it's Green Bay. And that leaves maybe the road game in Cincinnati, but I think a road game in Los Angeles against the defending Super Bowl champions is a tougher challenge than going into Cincinnati and beating Joe Burrow and the Bengals. So I think this is the game of everything they could have picked on the schedule. If you were to say what is the toughest game of the season, my guess is it would be this one. Look, aren't they favored in every game except the Rams game? If you care about point spreads, I think the Bengals game is pick 'em, but they're favored in every other game. So yeah, I think this is it for a number of different reasons. The team they're playing, it's a good team. It's a defending champion. It's a road game. It's prime time. The big national spotlight. Yes, I think this is the toughest challenge on paper on the schedule. Baltimore. I think Baltimore's a tough game, but yeah. I don't think I would add that into your discussion with Cincinnati and Green Bay. because it's a road game, and I think the Ravens will bounce back this season, but I don't think that tops Los Angeles on opening night on the road. I think this is the toughest one. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. We will get connected with our fans. Brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. Eddie in Lancaster, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to mention one thing. We need to really talk about the record that was broken over the weekend. First team in NBA, NHL, or MLB history to ever lose five straight deciding games with the Toronto Maple Leafs, which also is 10 straight deciding games that they have lost going back now. I just think we need to Buffalo the Toronto a little bit because I think Buffalo seems to get that stigma a lot, and it happens to more than just Buffalo. But, yeah, that's a nice record for them to hold right now. And I wanted to mention, when you talk about, you know, we would have definitely, you know, most likely played as well as we had and won the Super Bowl, but I really felt good after that 51-3 Raiders game. And the Giants kind of squeaked in there. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. No, that's a fair point. That's kind of why I asked it, because – there are probably a lot of teams that feel that way, right? If you're the Niners and you beat the Rams, which was that was the NFC Championship game and it was close. If you hold they had a 10
and remember point, the Niners beat the Rams twice in the regular season.
And did they have a 10-point lead? They had a lead. Did the Niners feel like we would have beaten Cincinnati, right? Just one win away from the Super Bowl, would have got that done. There are a lot of teams that end up feeling that way year in, year out. If you're a Bucs fan, They give up that late, long pass to Stafford. If they don't, do they feel like they're going to win the Super Bowl? Like, oh, Niners would have come here, would have waxed the Niners. And then the Bengals, the Bucs probably feel like should have been back-to-back Super Bowls, but gave up that late pass to Stafford. So it's not, you know, it's not unusual for a fan base to feel that. That's kind of why, going back to the Bills' Music City Miracle,
yeah,
I know a lot of Bills fans that feel like the way the defense played, even though that's Rob Johnson, or if it had been Flutie. There are plenty of Bills fans that feel like that team would have done what Tennessee did, which is go to the Super Bowl.
And I did, too. That's a little bit more of a stretch. That was a wild card game. So you know.
Right.
But, by the way, yes, you're right. The Niners had a 17-7 lead going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Don't they,
after
they
having
feel
beaten
like
them both times in the regular season, and one of them, they destroyed them pretty good in one of those regular season games. So they spanked them around. So the Niners fans are probably, you know, what if we got past this game, you know, would we have beaten Cincinnati in the Super Bowl? But yeah, and Eddie, to your point, right? There's no, again, there are nothing carries over. There are no guarantees. The Bills don't get an extra win or two because they were dominant in the previous season. They're not allowed to have an automatic one-game lead in the division because they've rolled the division the last 2 years. So I get it. It all resets. But everything just, you know, like Jeremy said, in terms of the toughest games on the schedule, I think the most difficult game is right out of the way in the opener. So you get the biggest challenge out of the way in week one. And the way the roster is put together, again, barring injuries, we have no idea what can happen. I get that. The way the roster is put together, the way the quarterback is playing, the way they've added to the talent level, the depth, they felt that there was still something, obviously, that what they weren't happy with up front on the defensive line. They overhauled that. I was going to say, what would be when we get to camp and we start talking about questions about this team and what possible questions you would have, what concerns you would have going into the season? Probably something about Trey White, whether he's healthy. But maybe before that, I would think the main concern most of you would have is, can the offense stay where it's been the last couple of years without Brian Daboll? Like, what would be your biggest, not including injuries, what would be the biggest thing you'd worry about the 2022 Bills living up to the expectations? Can they still score 30 points a game without the guy who ran the offense? Is Dorsey up to the task?
Yeah.
What's he going to do? Will the identity change? Are they using more two tight ends? What are they doing to the offense? And can it remain what it has been the last 2 years, one of the best offenses in the entire league? I think that's the biggest question you'd have about this team. Again, not health related.
Right. No, I think that's right. And who do we bring on for that? Because we don't know what Dorsey will do. And the Bills might kind of not know yet either. They know what he plans to do. And his philosophies, and he, of course, will work with the head coach. And almost, it's almost like you want to call and ask, all right, Pittsburgh, Roethlisberger went through 10 different coordinators. Mm-hmm. Was it, how did you know the good ones were good? How did you know the bad ones were bad? Peyton Manning. You know, Peyton Manning might be the actual person to ask on this.
He went through a few.
He went through
his multiple teams.
Yeah, multiple teams, multiple coordinators.
Because guys got head coaching jobs when they worked as Manning coordinator.
Yeah. And I kind of say that Tom Brady had Josh McDaniels and then this guy and then that guy. Because great quarterbacks, it is rare to keep your same coordinator for more than 4 years. Unless he's your head coach. Especially if Brady went through them, Manning went through them, Roethlisberger went through them.
That's right.
Did Drew Brees go through multiple? I mean, he had Sean Payton the whole time.
Payton was the caller, right. He was the offensive play caller.
So it's almost like you want to find out, does Pro Football Focus have a tracker on this? The best and worst of the best quarterbacks. And I'm not using Manning, Brady, Brees accidentally. I'm treating Allen as if he's one of the three best quarterbacks in football, then that's the kind of conversation you're having, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, if you have one of the three best, your ceiling and your floor are near the top, but how much deviation is there based on, ooh, yeah, there was 1 year we had a coordinator and it was definitely not the right idea.
Kansas City hasn't had that. Mahomes has had Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy.
Yep.
So he hasn't gone through any kind of shift, any kind of change in the primary play caller for the offense. And I do think that is important. That relationship I do believe is important between the quarterback and the play caller, and that trust factor and knowing what each guy is thinking and all that stuff. So I do believe that matters. And I do think it helps. You know, that's why a lot of us wanted them promote Dorsey.
Yeah.
He knows Allen. Allen knows Dorsey. Okay, so Dorsey's never been the guy on the hot seat. He's never been the guy. He was the passing game coordinator last year, but obviously he's never been the guy that had the ultimate say on calling this offense and putting together what they're doing. Now he will. But the fact that he's been here, I believe, does help a lot in this transition.
You know, there's not that many. I'm trying to think of. It's not like you see Tom Brady or Peyton Manning go from one of the three best quarterbacks to 16th.
Yeah.
Like that kind of drop doesn't happen. Neil writes in, you know, great quarterbacks become their own coordinator, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not disputing that. What I'm looking for is, I just had one in my head. Who is it going to be? It slipped away as I started to talk about
active
this
guy who's gone through coordinators.
Well, Roethlisberger is one that I think of a lot. Russell Wilson.
I was just going to ask you about Wilson.
My answer is Russell Wilson here. Because Russell Wilson has long been in a system that hides him more than it should.
Yeah, this is the let Russ cook discussion.
Right. The entire let Russ cook movement is, hey, Seattle, what are you doing? He's amazing. And he's always bailing you out in the fourth quarter because the way you call games is so conservative, you don't have to live like that.
But then they're losing and they let Russell Wilson, all right, just go, buddy.
Yeah.
And he has to come from behind fourth quarter.
It's one of the interesting things about Russell Wilson now is he's freed from Seattle, and I'm not sure if Nathaniel Hackett is going to be perfect for him, but we'll find out because it's the concept is, all right, receivers, let Russ cook. Let him cook in Denver. Let's go. Let's see this thing in an attack that looks a little bit different. So, and, you know, Seattle's long been guilty of running the ball too much. And Pete Carroll still talks about run the ball and play defense. Even though he had a franchise quarterback that could throw it all over the place. Right. He's one of the best deep ball throwers in the league. They were conservative. So, it's not to say I'm worried about it. I started with, who do we talk to? Who has seen a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback go from the best to the fourth best to the third best to the sixth best? Maybe Rodgers is this. How many coordinators has Rodgers had?
I got to look it up. Yeah,
he just lost one.
Right.
In Hackett.
A guy who he liked a lot.
They were supposed to be close, and the rumors were he was going to go to Denver with Hackett. He didn't.
Right.
So it's not something I can really get worried about.
If you're that good a quarterback, you wouldn't think there'd be a big drop-off just because the play caller left.
No, I very much expect him to stay at the top. What it comes down to is, and I'm sure we'll get calls on this year, unless they go 17-0. Someone will be upset with the play calling. Mm-hmm. It almost couldn't have gone any better with Brian Daboll, and you still have some Bills fans who were happy to see him go.
There were some stretches where Daboll would, you know, we'd get calls about a game every now and then.
Sure.
Here or there, would you go like, well, he's doing this too much, or he's passing too much, or why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? You got to get Diggs the ball more often. What are you doing? I mean, there were games where people would get frustrated with Brian Daboll. All right, we'll get a break in 803-0550. Hey, the caller was referring to the Leafs and their first-round exit. When we get back, we'll talk about what's going on in Toronto, where the Leafs go from here. Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet is going to join us in a moment. Phone line is always open for you to join us as well at 803-0550 on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Stanley Cup champions, 2 years running, have won their ninth consecutive playoff series.
Love this music.
Chris Cuthbert on the call. Yes, we'll talk a little bit about the Leafs and what's going to happen in Toronto. We're going right to the West hotline. We're joined by Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet. Jeff, it is Howard and Jeremy here in Buffalo. Good morning, sir. Thanks for coming on with us today.
My pleasure, gentlemen. How are you today?
Yeah, you know, we're okay. We're hanging in there.
We're doing all right. We just had a caller call just to point out that the Leafs have lost five series in a row. Just to remind everybody.
The good thing about it is, in the greater Toronto area, there's about 4 million general managers who know exactly what to do. So this will all be solved very quickly on Sports Talk Radio.
Well, Jeff, we do that too for a living, so it's okay.
Actually, in this case, Jeff, it's a little different. Like, there's a little bit of laughing at the pain, and then, at least for me, there's a lot of, I feel like all the narratives have been exhausted. Like, what even is it this time around, other than, holy cow, I can't believe it happened again.
Yeah, no,
I mean, there's a lot of that going around, certainly. And, you know, it is interesting, because going into this season, you know, coming off of that, you know, horrible freeze, and make no mistake about it, the Leafs go up 3-1 against the Montreal Canadiens last year in the playoffs. You know, Brendan Gallagher scores that first goal in Game 7, and the team freezes. And we're incapable of mustering anything after that. You know, the narrative going into this, and it wasn't really, I say it not as a pejorative, but as the truth, the narrative going into the season was, if the Maple Leafs have another first-round flameout, there's going to be sweeping changes. There's going to be personnel changes, there'll be changes on the bench, there'll be changes in the manager's suite. The only question is, how high up the food chain do the changes go? But then they went through the season they just did, and it was 60 goals from Auston Matthews. It was a career season for Mitch Marner. It was, you know, stretching the Tampa Bay Lightning, two-time defending Stanley Cup champion, and perhaps the worst draw the Maple Leafs could get in the first round, stretching them to seven games and losing by one goal. And for some, they looked at that and said, hold on a second here. If you believe in process, the Maple Leafs have now taken that next step, not unlike teams like the Detroit Red Wings previous to when they started to win their Stanley Cups, or the Washington Capitals when they finally won their Stanley Cup. But make no mistake about it, guys, and you know this, you're close to it, you're plugged in. The fan base is hot. The fan base is hot about this. This is, in their minds, they don't want to hear anything more about process and taking another step. All they know is this is another first-round flameout, and they're looking for changes. I think there will be changes, but I just don't know that it's going to be the changes that I think some Maple Leafs fans are hoping for or would expect. I expect there to be changes, but I don't think it's anything really as deep as some Maple Leafs fans may wish for.
Yeah, sometimes the things that are said are easy to mock, but at the same time, they might not be wrong. Sheldon Keefe saying he felt like they got more respect in the handshake line is a very cringy thing to say to me. However,
it is.
However, it sure does sound like the Lightning players do feel that. Like, a lot of the Lightning players were almost sheepish in talking about how they beat the Leafs. Like, hey, listen, that's a good team. They're going to get there eventually.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, too, because, you know, Montreal was a choke job. Like, that was bad. The series against Columbus in the bubble, like the Maple Leafs should win that series all day long. The series against the Boston Bruins, that was a choke job. Like, this wasn't a choke. Like, I don't think anyone looked at this, the Tampa Bay series and said, wow, man, the Maple Leafs had them right where they wanted them, and they choked at the end. Now, you know, you may look at Tampa and say, okay, so that last game you didn't have Braden Point for the majority of the game, and, you know, there's some guys that are dinged up, and this guy's playing with a fever of 102, and how do you not beat this team? But I don't think that anyone looks at Game 7 this time around and says, oh, the Maple Leafs choked. It's just that it's the same result that the Maple Leafs fans have, you know, now gotten used to in the opening round.
To me, Jeff, honestly, it's funny. As an outsider, if they make big moves and think we got to blow up this, that great, because I think you should keep the core group together. I think it's a really good hockey team. I think some of it is luck of the draw. Some of it is the stupid playoff format, because Toronto is usually playing in the 2-3 game unless it's the All-Canada division. I think they should keep the team together and try and figure out what else to add to it, as opposed to blaming one of the core guys and moving out Nylander or Tavares, or obviously it's not Matthews, any of those other guys.
That's a really interesting point. So let me try to take that one step further. How would you feel then if they kept the core together but moved the pieces around? Because if you look at the gameplay and if you look at the season and you look how that seven game series against Tampa went, I mean, up the gut they're running Austin Matthews and John Tavares. John Tavares' strong suit has never been skating, and that becomes quite obvious in the playoff time when the pace picks up. You know, there is some talk around Toronto, and there has been for a while, that by the end of John Tavares' contract, he will have to be a winger. That he doesn't have the foot speed. Now, I know that a player like Ante Kopitar is not the fastest player in the NHL by any stretch of the imagination. He's still quite an effective center. But the feeling around John Tavares is, by the end of the deal, he should probably be a winger. They need someone a little more fleet of foot to be a center. Now, William Nylander has played center. There is some belief that Mitch Marner could slot there, and they would separate Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. So if they kept it together, I wonder if that could be the play here longer term.
Jeff Merrick with us from Sportsnet. So the core guys did produce points. The goaltending wasn't even that bad, right? There have been years when the Leafs lost, and you pointed out to Frederick Anderson or whoever killing them. So what do they need to get better this offseason? What do you think they need to add to this team?
I think they need someone that is miserable to play against in their top six. You know, it's not as if the Maple Leafs are an easy touch anymore, but there's no one that's just miserable. And I know those players are rare, and everybody wants them. Like, everybody wants their Tom Wilson. Everybody wants their Brad Marchand. But players like that, I mean, the Maple Leafs have recognized that they need a player like that. I mean, they went out last offseason and got Nick Ritchie. right? Now, it didn't work out, and they ended up shipping him to Arizona for Labushkin, which actually did kind of work out, you know, better for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But they recognize that, I mean, that's a tell that they recognize that they need that style of player in their top six, and I would argue they still do. I think the other thing, you know, they probably need one more top-pairing defenseman. I mean, that's not going to be Mark Giordano. If he wants to come back to Toronto on a discount deal and in a bottom-pairing role, there's probably a spot there for him. But I look at the Maple Leafs and I say, I need a good, miserable, cranky hockey player in the top six and one more defenseman. And listen, you mentioned Jack Campbell. He's an unrestricted free agent. And it's not as if he spent his 20s picking up, you know, major contract after major contract. This is his one shot to ring the bell. Will that shot be with Toronto, or does he chase every single dime knowing this is his one chance to cash in?
What do you anticipate, if anything, with Dubas and Keefe? Do they, everybody's back together, GM, coach?
I think so. That's very much what it feels like right now. I don't know. I mean, everybody, this could all change today at Cal Dubas' press conference, but it does feel right now like, at least for now, everybody is secure in their positions. But the one thing that we're starting to see now, and, you know, you guys just mentioned, you know, Lane Lambert takes over in Long Island, and, you know, Peter DeBoer is now out in Vegas, and you wonder about Barry Trotz going in there. This is going to be a wild summer for coaches, guys. This is going to be a wild summer. We don't know if Rick Bonus is coming back in Dallas. There's going to be some significant coaching changes. This will be the coaching carousel, make no mistake about it, in this offseason. My gut tells me that Sheldon Keefe is fine, but we'll see what happens as the spring and summer progresses. But it's my understanding that both the GM and the coach will be back.
Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet. Jeff, on the NHL playoffs, that's round two starting tonight, Tampa, Florida, the other Eastern Series, Carolina, the Rangers, the Battle of Alberta, the St. Louis, yeah, Colorado Series. What about this group of eight jumps out at you?
Well, one, we get the Battle of Alberta again, which we haven't seen since 1991. Now, I don't think it'll be a similar timber where the games take 4 hours and it's a scattering of sticks and gloves all over the ice like we were used to once upon a time. But there is a special burning intensity that exists between these two teams, the Highway 2 series in Alberta between Edmonton and Calgary. So looking forward to that. I am very much looking forward to Florida and Tampa. Like, it's always great. I mean, even go back to preseason games, you know, where it's brawl fest. These two teams have, you know, a genuine hockey hate for one another, which is a beautiful thing come this time of year. So that one certainly stands out. And I'll tell you what's interesting here. Carolina and the New York Rangers, Tony DeAngelo versus former team, is very delicious. And actually, when you look at the Carolina Hurricanes blue line, you know, whether it's Brady Shea, Tony DeAngelo, Brendan Smith, it's kind of the New York Rangers versus the New York Rangers old blue line in a lot of ways. Tampa is one of the more skilled teams and hardworking teams in the NHL. This one jumps out. And then the wild card series, which we think Colorado should win, but St. Louis is just so hard to play against and maybe have the most balanced attack of forwards in the entire NHL, 9-20 goal scorers and almost a tenth with Justin Falk on the back end. I don't know if this one's going to be the pushover that some people think it might be, considering how good Colorado is. I think there's still a lot of there with the St. Louis Blues, but, you know, the state and provincial rivalry games are clearly the ones that stand out here.
It's a little bit like Colorado has to answer the second round question that the Leafs have to answer in the first round.
Nailed it. The same questions everybody has about the Maple Leafs in the first round. You're right on the money here. The same questions exist. And don't forget, like, last season, Colorado was up 2-0 on Vegas after the first two games. And we say, all right. I remember talking to someone in Vegas after game two, and they said, we have them exactly where we want them. And I kind of laughed. I'm like, nah, this is it for Colorado. And then sheepishly, I had to admit that, boy, was I ever wrong. Those same demons for the second round exist for Colorado. Make no mistake about it.
Jeff, in Buffalo, no change as a coach and GM, and everyone around here is pretty happy about that. The season went about as good as anybody here probably could have expected, and optimism has returned.
And listen, you guys follow the Rochester Americans. You know what's down there on the farm. You know about Jack Quinn. You know about J.J. Paterka. You know about the players that are coming. You know about the draft picks that are on the horizon. This is a team that's growing. This is a team that I think a lot of people look towards and say, okay, they're maybe not a playoff team next season, but they're ready to take more steps. There's the emergence. Like, I was one of the first people to look sideways on Tage Thompson becoming a center. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the visual of the giraffe in the middle. Like, holy smokes, the big guys are in the middle. But, man, has he ever worked out as a legit number one center. Like, there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic about the Buffalo Sabres. And I got to admit my bias here. Like, I grew up in southwestern Ontario. So I watched a ton of Buffalo Sabres games. Like, for me, it was Maple Leafs games and Buffalo Sabres games. I watched the French Connection. I watched Danny Gare. I watched King Kong Korab and Playfair. And the voice in my head, with all due respect to RJ, the voice in my head when I hear the Buffalo Sabres is Ted Darling and the Sabre Dance and all of it. So I'm a longtime Buffalo Sabres guy. So anytime I start to get that soap and warm water feeling about the Buffalo Sabres improving, to me it's a good thing.
Jeff, thanks for your time. Nice to have you on the show this morning. Appreciate you coming on with us.
Buzz anytime. Thanks, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Thank you, too. Jeff Merrick does a great job covering the NHL. Get his podcast with Elliot Friedman joining us from Sportsnet in Canada.
It's a great podcast.
I forgot to. I was going to ask him. I totally forgot. What are Canada's chances of getting the Cup this year? How are they feeling up north of the border to end the Canadian Cup drought?
Well.
And who's the better shot at it?
I was talking with Alan Davis, our program director, yesterday. It is a shame that Toronto is out for that.
Yeah.
Because Toronto in the second round is more interesting than Tampa.
Oh, but for sure.
And the idea of Toronto playing Calgary or Edmonton would have been incredible. Toronto had every better storyline that Tampa has. Tampa is Tom Brady winning
Oh,
again.
Yeah. Who needs Tampa's done.
Congratulations.
They got two
cups,
right.
It's boring.
Right.
Not interested.
Right.
The other thing about, you know, what are Canada's chances? So Dreisaitl has a high ankle sprain. Did you see how he had that?
No,
how he got that?
No, I knew he was banged up. I didn't realize it was high ankle, though.
Yeah, he played through it in Game 7. Oof. Frank Saravelli tweeted yesterday, can he grind through an entire battle of Alberta? Wow. Does it make more sense to try and rest him a few games to get him back? You didn't see how he got the high ankle sprain?
No. Oh, please don't tell me it was like a dirty...
It was a scrum after a play.
Yeah.
He got taken down.
Great.
It's just part of the sport. It's part of the sports culture. It's part of the sports culture.
Yeah.
Crosby gets knocked out in Game 5, had a headache afterwards. The story on the Penguins is that they evaluated him and he was cleared,
yeah.
And they kept him out.
Why? If he was cleared by the medical staff, why
know.
Would they keep him out?
I don't know.
They worried about the Rangers targeting his head? But he comes back and plays.
There's one series that turns on a shot to the head,
yeah,
and that team advances. And in Edmonton, it's not McDavid, it's Dreisaitl.
Mm-hmm.
Playing hurt. Because of stuff that happened, you know, all the time in hockey after the whistle. Just take down one of their best players, high ankle sprain. All right, I hope they don't hit McDavid.
Oh, no. Like, it's a guy I want to watch.
If you're Calgary.
Oh, boy.
What's the punishment?
Well, the problem is the league leaves itself open to players taking that into their own hands.
100%.
And doing
that. Yeah. So, you know, just root for some clean play.
803-0550 to join us. A little more hockey talk coming up top of the hour with Paul on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, sometimes we do stat of the day. Other times, wild story of the day. Were you here or were you still on vacation? Or shoulder recovery vacation?
Wait,
SRV.
He made it sound like I made up an injury. Go ahead.
Shoulder recovery vacation.
Finger quotes, shoulder recovery.
Were you still gone when we had the story about the Oakland Athletics Stadium having a colony of feral cats that lives there?
I was not here for that discussion.
Like 30 to 40 cats live.
Which means there are more cats than fans in the stands at A's games?
It's close.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, let me set that one aside. What if I told you that's not the best story about that stadium and wild animals?
I think you got to go a little ways to beat. I know there was a rat running around at Nationals games when the Mets were there. I think you got to go a ways to beat a feral cat story.
So apparently the Twins broadcast crew had to be kicked out of their booth at the Oakland Coliseum because an exterminator needed to go in and get a possum. There's a possum that lives in the Twins broadcast booth.
Was he playing possum?
the
possum up in the broadcast
Dick
booth?
Dick Bremer tweeted. He is a play-by-play guy for the Twins. I've been asked to leave the visiting broadcast booth so an exterminator could come in to try to catch a possum. A series of words that, I'm guessing, has never been connected before.
I bet that's not an everyday story. Up there? Like, way up? Like, you see, like, animals sometimes get on fields, like cats, rats.
Dogs.
Dogs, sure, fine.
Skunks.
I don't know if I've seen a skunk. Fox?
There's definitely been a skunk
but up
on a
in
field.
The up in the press box? Like, how the heck does... What, do they use the elevator? Yes. Press level, please. How's he get up there?
Skunk got loose at in San Diego.
Oh.
I just searched...
Who's brave enough to capture it?
I searched skunk on field. San Diego. Marlins and Padres. A game from 2012.
Boy, I wish I had some stories to share.
We've got one.
Press box animal stories to share.
The Red Sox minor league game had a skunk on the field.
I've seen cats.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, there was a rat last time the Mets were in D.C. against the Nationals. They kept showing this rat running around the outfield. I think there was one at Shea Stadium, at Citi Field last year when the Mets were home. Anyway.
A rat's not that big of a surprise at a stadium. It's a big place.
And nor is a cat,
there's
going to
be a lot of trash. A possum in the press box is something else.
Okay, a possum, but the best part is in the press box. Again, I'm still curious. Obviously, it climbs, but still wondering how it got all the way up there, you know? Wasn't happy being at the lower level. Hey, let me go check out a little bit more of the stadium. Mr. Hamilton is on the way. We'll talk a little bit more hockey with him. 803-0550 to join us this morning. Hey, quick note. Our sister station, WBEN, of course, has continuing coverage of the aftermath of the shootings on the east side on Saturday. The president will be in town this morning. Two quick notes. One, a traffic note. The other, coverage. Coverage of the president's visit is going to be over on WBEN, including his scheduled touchdown in Air Force One at 9:45 this morning. Because of that, there will be occasional delays and or stoppages on the 33 for the motorcade to make its way to downtown or to the east side from the airport. So be aware of that. Later this morning, 33 might have some delays and traffic issues because of that. So they will cover the arrival at 9:45. President is scheduled to speak at 1:00 at the Delavan Grider Community Center, and that'll be live over on News Radio 930 WBEN as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.